Hello and welcome back to Perfectly Paranormal, episode 42. My name's Anna Schmidt, and I'm here every week, yes, every week without fail, to share with you true paranormal encounters and information about devils, demons, and dark energy beings that no one else talks about. And today we're taking a look at the difference between authentic light beings and dark energy imposters who pretend to be from the light, just to trick us mere humans. Now, there's quite often a lot of confusion around knowing the difference between the two, and people get sucked in all the time by the dark imposters and can sometimes be led down very dark paths indeed, when they actually think that they're being guided by higher vibrational beings. Now, there are subtle and sometimes not so subtle differences, which your intuition, bodily sensations and feelings and good old common sense will alert you to. Now, light beings don't physically or mentally attach to us. They don't need to. If a voice is in your mind telling you that it's a light being and you're experiencing some of the negative signs and symptoms that I'm going to be outlining in this episode, question the voice's authenticity. Now, light beings such as angels, archangels, spirit guides, ascended masters, God, Jesus, Buddha, for example, have energy that feels light and loving. Now, it might be a little bit intense because these beings are a higher vibration and our bodies will react to that, but it still has a lightness to it and it has a warmth and a loving feel about it. You're going to feel protected and supported. And the information that they share or show you gives you the feeling of being connected to the bigger picture in a good way. Now, they may suggest activities that will raise your vibration, help improve your life choices and your life direction, such as meditation, mindfulness, solitude, exercise, decision making. That's a big one. Cutting the procrastination, taking responsibility, being accountable. Seriously, they can be a little bit demanding, a little bit like a bossy mother or a teacher, but they have your best interests at heart and they want to help you with your spiritual learning, your daily lives, meeting like-minded people, eating a healthier diet, or taking a course at work that you've been doubting you are good enough to do. Now, they will send you synchronicities to get your attention, like they're going to bug you. If they can see that you can be leveling up or working a bit harder, they're going to repeat messages, but not in a harsh way. They're going to use things such as you seeing repeated numbers, seeing a particular animal all the time. They love using spirit animals as a sign of what you need to do and when. You just get online and look up what a particular animal means. There's your message. Often they'll use feathers, and sometimes they'll use people with messages. Like, seriously, you'll just be having a conversation with someone, and all of a sudden that person will switch into some weird conversation. You don't even know what's going on. But they seem to give you a message that you need. It plants the seed in your mind, and you're like, whoa, that is just what I needed. And then the person switches back and the conversation goes back to normal again. And you're like, wow, that was trippy. That was an experience. That is how they work. I've experienced that many, many times because I'm always very aware when I'm out. Oh, you're going to love this. I've even had my spirit guides give me a sign, a literal sign on the side of a bus, like, or a motto that's on the back of a labourer's truck. Like, seriously, who would think you'd get messages that way? But that is how these higher vibrational beings work. Basically, they guide, they encourage, and they make suggestions to enhance your life choices and direction. Now, let's look at dark imposters. We're going to do a story soon, but I just wanted to lay out a bit of information first. These dark imposters do their best to impersonate the light, but there are always subtle and sometimes not so subtle signs if they lose their patience with their hidden agendas. Now, dark energy beings, even when they're cloaked as a light being, will feel heavy. They will feel dense. You may get adverse body reactions. You might get intense headaches, or you have nightmares, or they trigger negative emotions in you and you're like, I don't know where that's coming from. That's not me. You've got no trauma going on in your life at that time. You're just cruising along having a great time, and all of a sudden things go downhill and you've been doing meditation. Let's not get sidetracked. We'll come to that later. We're talking about meditation in a minute. Now, their body language, if you observe these beings, if you see them or if you feel their presence during a meditation, it'll be demanding, no matter how demure they try to be. They just can't keep up the ruse. It's really quite funny when you think about it. Their language especially, or the feeling you get from them, you might feel pressured or manipulated, or they're wanting you to do inappropriate things, whether it's words, whether it's an interaction with someone, whether it's using your money in a particular way. They'll know what triggers you, and that's coming up in one of our stories as well. Now, they can suggest information that just doesn't feel right. So use your common sense. And it's just not valuable to you. And they repeat the information, not like the higher vibrational beings. They'll just repeat it. They'll bang on in your head and it will just become this monotonous voice that is kind of morphing between something light and lovely and something a bit denser and darker. And sometimes they can make quite awful suggestions in very harsh or pressured ways. So you have free will. You always have free will when it comes to working with high vibrational beings. They're not going to push you. They're there to guide. They might give you a nudge if you're procrastinating, like for years. They're like, oh, I'm just going to give her a bit of a push in that direction. Let's hope she just picks it up and goes with it. But they can't make you do anything. Now, these dark and demonic beings, they will provoke you. They'll use whatever triggers you mentally, emotionally, whether it's an addiction. And sometimes they'll attempt to control you with fear or just by creating paranoia. They know what triggers you, so just be aware of what your triggers are. They can also utilize negative words or images to manipulate you into doing what they want. Remember in previous episodes, I've talked about how they used to try and put me off doing house clearing jobs by showing me horrible, torturous images in my mind because they know that I don't cope with human suffering. But just remember, you always have free will, always, always, always. If something doesn't feel right, question it or just walk away. You have the choice. So let's delve into what I and my clients have witnessed over many years and some rather confounding experiences that highlight paranormal interference of the darker kind. Now I have for you Kathy's story, which I've called I Can Help You. Now Kathy was up for a promotion at work and she really, really wanted it. And she thought she deserved it. Now, Kay was also interested in the promotion, and she had years more experience than Kathy and felt that it was in the bag. So the ladies, who were once good friends, now had some rivalry going on. Kathy meditated every morning without fail, as it helped her to relax her mind, and she felt settled to start her day on a good footing. And for the last month, during her 30-minute meditations, she's been focusing on her thoughts and how she could improve her chances at getting this promotion. And she asked her guides to show her what she needed to improve within herself and also within the quality of her work. Well, this one morning, Kathy had a new guide step forward. Now, this quiet, unassuming presence, all dressed in white, stood in front of Kathy. And they kind of shared a moment of just peacefully observing each other. Now, this guide moved towards Kathy and sat next to her and put its hand on her shoulder, saying, "You are looking forward to your promotion, aren't you? What are you going to do to secure your success?" Now, Kathy was a little shocked, as this guide was quite forward and she'd never actually been touched by one of her guides before. So she was a little bit dubious about who this was and what their intentions were, but she went along with it just to see what would happen. Now, her spiritual helpers never usually approach her in this way. Like, they'll talk to her in her sleep, or she might get a message through social media, the usual ways that spirit guides will show us things. You know, through conversations with other people, you might just have a thought that pops into your head just totally randomly, and that's information from upstairs about what you need in that particular situation. Now, after this guide sort of did what he did, she kind of felt a bit shocked and a little bit sort of unsettled. So she kind of snapped herself out of a meditative state and just sat there feeling a little bit bewildered. Now, this guide wasn't present within her mind anymore. She didn't quite know what to do with this situation. So she thought she'd just sit with it for a while and see what happened next time. Now, the next morning, this guide, in inverted commas, as Kathy has written for me, was present again and sat next to her, whispering in her ear, "I can help you." And then his face turned to look into Kathy's eyes. Kathy was a little bit torn, as she kind of really deeply, deeply wanted this promotion, but she kind of felt a bit like she was selling her soul to the devil, even just sitting with this presence. It just didn't feel right. Kathy wrote me a separate email giving me some information for this story, and then she wanted me to write it in my words but with her information. And she said that this energy being just didn't feel right. It was totally different. Like I said earlier, it was totally different to her other guides. It was a little bit more pushy, a little bit more forceful, a little bit more in her face. Now, again, she shook herself out of that meditative state. And this time she said out loud, "No, I don't want your help, whoever you are. And don't show up again in my meditations, ever again." Now, she was looking at the clock, saying about 8:45, and she was late for work. Like, she'd simply thought her meditation had gone for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, but she'd been in there for an hour with whatever this energy being was. So Kathy jumped in the car, toast firmly clenched between her teeth, and off she drove to work. Now, at least the highway was clear, she thought to herself, as she was running late and most people would already be at work. Now, coming around the corner near her work building, she saw Kay's car, and it was banged up on the side of the road. Now, Kathy was quite shocked. And she saw at least Kay was standing there, so Kay was safe. Kay hadn't been hurt by whatever had happened with her car. And she was standing there waiting for a tow truck. Now, Kathy stopped to see what had happened, and Kay told her how she had heard strange sudden whispering in her ear that turned into a horrendous growl that was around 8:40 as she looked at the clock. And she was so surprised, shocked, and frightened. And instead of hitting the brake, she actually hit the accelerator and smashed straight into the back end of someone else's car. Now, Kay was an excellent driver, always watching what she was doing, very fastidious about the road rules. She always kept that sort of 1.5 metre, 2 metre distance between the car in front. And she simply doesn't know what happened. And she was really quite shaken up by this accident. Now, arriving home at 6 p.m., Kathy flew in her front door. Like, she threw her bag on the floor in the kitchen and she sat in her lounge chair. Shutting her eyes, she relaxed and she went into like a deep, slow, meditative breathing state. And within 5 minutes, she was in her meditation trance state. Now, she saw this guide again, and it was kind of casually walking towards her. A little bit of ego there. It had this swagger about it. And before he spoke, she said loudly and unashamedly, "You, You caused Kay's car crash. Very sly, grinning presence, all dressed in glimmering white. Oh, he said. No, that wasn't me. Well, maybe it was. Well, you want that promotion, don't you? Now, this guide's bright blue eyes turned to a kind of shade of grey, as Kathy said in a demanding voice, No, actually, Kay deserves it more than me, so you can stop your tricks. Oh, you're such a spoilsport. And you can stop right there, she said. I can see the devil in you. You trickster, you. And she used a few choice swear words. And in her mind, she pointed her finger, her index finger, and she said, Get out! Before this guide could answer, Kathy was so on par with this. Like, seriously, she was in control of this situation. She instantly called in Archangel Michael to expel this destructive, manipulative entity. And as she said the words, Archangel Michael, this guide, in inverted commas, his white robes morphed into massive black flapping wings. And this being, like seriously, all she could focus on were these wings. You can't tell me anything else about what this being looked like. She was so shocked about the instant change of this entity that was in front of her. She said she could feel it looking at her with disgust and annoyance. But it went. Like it simply just vanished out of her meditation, vanished out of her mind. Now, as this happened, Kathy fell out of her lounge chair and she landed on all fours. Oh, what just happened? She said out loud. Now, these are Kathy's exact words. She's given them to me to use in the writing of this story because she thought it was really important that people understand the intensity that comes with these dark beings when they're pretending to be light workers. Now, as she rolled over, she says, she just sat there leaning against the chair. She was stunned. And as she was sitting there, she said that she could see all these little orbs of white light in front of her. Like maybe she hit her head. She doesn't quite know what happened because she simply fell out of her chair. But these white lights, they sort of lasted, she said, for maybe 30 seconds, about a minute. She just sat there, just observing them. Maybe they were angelic beings, just keeping an eye on her, making sure she was okay. She doesn't know. And she said she'll never, ever forget it. And also, this is the best bit. Kathy said she'd never been a full believer in angelic beings, in God source creator energy. She used to do meditation simply for the breathing exercises that helped her to relax. It helped her to regulate her energy. And she, like I said, she'd leave the house on a good footing, go to work feeling great. Now she had a full understanding of the paranormal world that is around us. And she still does her meditation. It didn't faze her at all. But she has a really good knowledge now of, if it doesn't feel right, question it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Blonde hair, blue eyes, white wings. Looks can be deceiving, so always question your guides. Now, fast forwarding to the next week. Kay did get that promotion. And Kathy was given the assistant level job, which was a step up from her old job. So she was so happy that she and Kay would be working together. And she still did her morning meditation, but she always called on an angelic watcher to support and protect her during her spiritual journeying. And the winged tormentor, as she called it, didn't show his face again. Well, I bet that was an eye-opener for some people, especially Kathy, as to the trickster nature of some of these dark energy beings. Because they know that we desire things in our lives. Some people will do anything to get what they want. Now, the following story comes from my client in the UK. This man we're going to call Craig. Now, Craig wants to share his experience of meditating with Mum and how it all went wrong. Craig's called this encounter a malevolent mother moment. I'm 42, and for most of my life, meditation has been my early morning practice, the way that I start my day on a good footing. It helps me to ground, feel settled and motivated about the day's activities. Now, I've had money issues and I'm often stressed about paying the bills and whether I'll have enough to survive through the next month or two. And one morning during my meditation, a presence appeared. And as I stared at this new fixture in my meditation, the wafting presence sort of slowly morphed into my mother. It was like she stepped forward through a thick fog. She just stood there quietly smiling at me. But there was something odd about this apparition. It kind of looked like her, right down to the matching shoes and handbag that she just took everywhere when she was alive. But there was something not right when I looked into her eyes. Mum had passed away many years ago, and I wasn't grieving anymore. I'd come to terms with the loss. I'd had counselling, and I was sure that she was safe and happy with Dad, just doing whatever they do in the afterlife. So I was more than a little confused as to why Mum was standing before me now. So I proceeded with caution. Now, Craig and I have worked together many times. I've done lots of cleansing of his home. I've worked on himself. I've worked on his car and even his cat. And we discussed paranormal trickery in all its forms. This is why I like to educate people. So Craig was well aware of paranormal pranksters and their tactics. Now he continues to write, "I felt this wasn't my mother, but something dark, disguised as her for its own nefarious purpose. I questioned the presence over the next few meditation sessions, as it would show up uninvited and just smile that slowly morphed into something else, and it made me feel very, very uncomfortable. Now, that presence was losing patience with me. I could see changes in its body language and harshness developing in its voice. Now, the tipping or turning point was when the apparition told me to put all my savings into the stock market, and I would easily double or triple my dollars and be a rich man within a few months. Now, I firmly knew that this was not my mother, as she had no idea about stocks or even handling money, as Dad had done all that when they were alive. Now, I openly challenged this entity, "You are not my mother. Your tricks won't work on me. Leave now and don't come back." Now, I said this in a really firm voice, and what came next really frightened me beyond belief. In my mind, I stood my ground, still firmly planted in my meditative state, and to waver now could mean demonic retaliation, if that's what this thing was, and that is never good. Now, my mother's demure appearance finally showed its true nature, morphing into the blackest, darkest thing I have ever seen. It reeked of hatred and disgust. It just stood there before me in defiance. I stiffened in my meditative posture and I bellowed in a firm voice, "Leave and don't come back." And with that, it was gone. It simply left. I came out of my meditation panting and exhausted and sweating profusely. And after a cup of tea and a huge piece of chocolate cake, not my usual breakfast, he writes, I emailed Anna sharing my experience and wondering if meditation is still safe to do. Now, I replied to Craig later on that day and I wrote, "Hi, Craig, well done for standing your ground. The dark only have power over us if we let them. And yes, meditation is still safe for you to do, and you have a great awareness of paranormal tactics now, and will pick up on any other entities that might try using their naughty tricks. Just enjoy your meditation and call in your higher vibrational supporters to be with you and to protect you always, especially when you're in a meditative state. Now the next experience, oh my goodness, this really opened up Jenny's eyes to the supernatural, I was going to say. Oh, whenever I talk about paranormal things, my speech just goes out the window. Let's try that again. The next experience opened Jenny's eyes to supernatural sneaky tactics, which she simply won't fall for again. Now, Jenny had yearned for years to connect with higher vibrational beings. Or spirits. I think they were connecting with her, but she just simply wasn't listening, or she wasn't aware of how they were communicating with her. Now, she felt blocked, and she wanted to see something really, really badly, anything that would prove to her that there was life after death. And boy, did she get more than what she bargained for. Now, I've called this encounter Jenny's Jolting Experience. Now, one of my early clients, Jenny, said late one night she was meditating before bed. This was a usual thing that she did every night. And suddenly she saw a spirit in her mind. Now, the image was so vivid and it kind of shocked her so suddenly that she opened her eyes and she stared into the darkness. Now, in her lounge room sat a child, someone she knew. The apparition looked like a friend's daughter who had passed away recently. She had looked after the little girl and had a deep love for her as a kind of like an adopted nana. And when the child passed from an illness, Jenny was devastated and she thought about the little girl constantly. And when the child appeared in her home and sat in her favourite chair, just like she did when she was alive, Jenny didn't know what to say or do. Now, the child spirit spoke in Jenny's mind and asked to stay. And she told me that the voice that this spirit used was exactly the same as the child's voice when the little girl was alive. Now, deep down, Jenny did wonder why she'd chosen her instead of being with her family. But as we do, she just instantly said yes, not wanting to hurt the child's feelings. Now, as she said the yes, there was this sly grin that she saw on the child's face. Now, that instantly should have tweaked Jenny's intuition as to the genuineness of this not-so-innocent child before her. Now, in the days and the nights ahead, Jenny's life was turned upside down. Like, literally, there were items suddenly going missing. The stove would randomly turn itself on. Glasses would fly off the bench. There would be strange jumping on the bed in the middle of the night, pulling on the blankets, and really horrible whispering in Jenny's ears. Like, seriously, this was... This was not a child spirit. This was something else. And Jenny was just wondering, like, seriously, what have I let into my house? Now, Jenny lived locally, so quite often I'll visit locals just to get out, have a bit of a social life, even though it's still work-based. Oh, my goodness, I live the paranormal lifestyle. And as soon as I entered the home, I felt a very dark disapproval of the demonic kind. Now, as I entered this house, it was kind of like 7 o'clock at night, so Jenny had the outside lights on. They were flickering like crazy, like someone was seriously upset. And Jenny's standing there waiting for me to get from the car to her door. And she's like, these lights never do that. I went, mm-hmm. That's all I needed to do. Oh, so we went into the kitchen and Jenny and I chattered. And as we're chattering away to each other, these rotten smells started to appear out of nowhere. And like Jenny's house was clean and tidy, there wasn't a thing out of place. And I knew what or who was present. Rotten, stinky smells in homes that are clean can be a sign of paranormal presence. Particular types of paranormal beings that like to drop really rancid, rotten egg type smells, usually because they're upset or because they want people like me to leave, usually because they're upset. Now, I spoke about what I would be doing for Jenny. Like, I talk out loud so that these beings can listen and hear and get used to the way I work. And I talked about how this energetic being just wouldn't be harmed. It more so moved out, like it needed to move out of Jenny's home and just find another location to go to. Now, in that instance, the lights stopped flickering and the smells dissipated. The gig was up. This energy being knew that it had been found out. It wasn't a sweet, lovely little child that Jenny had looked after all those years ago. It was something masquerading as a spirit. Quite often, they will do this because dark and demonic beings, they're not stupid. They're actually very highly intelligent. Ah, dear, they know what triggers us. And for Jenny, the little girl was a trigger. So in her meditation, they're like, right, we can get to her through this ruse of being the child that Jenny used to look after. Now, I worked on Jenny's home over the next few days, and Jenny promised me that she would seek grief counselling because she really needed it. She admitted, look, I badly miss this child and I feel for the family. And Jenny phoned me a week later to say that her home was hers again. There'd been no more odd or strange happenings. She was seeing a counsellor and she'd found another family that needed an adopted nana. And she would be babysitting their 2-year-old daughter 2 or 3 times a week. And Jenny was so happy, like she was just over the moon. And she promised me that no more giving permission for spirits or anything else to stay in her home ever again. So in episode 43, we're going to be exploring the transition of the darkest of dark energy beings into the afterlife. Yes, indeed, this does happen. If you had asked me about this 20 years ago, I would have said no way in hell this would happen. No pun intended. But this episode may simply challenge some people. So just keep an open mind to understanding what makes these dark energy beings seek positive change, how the process works, and where they go to reach living in a higher vibrational state. So tune in to find out where I send these supernatural entities. So thank you for joining me today. And don't forget, if you want to share a paranormal experience just with myself, or you would like me to share one of your experiences through my podcast, you can do a voice recording, or you can write out your experience and I will read it exactly as you have written. You can email me at spiritualbeing44@gmail.com. And for information on paranormal house clearing, you can visit my website, Spiritual Being. You will find the address in the description box. And I look forward to sharing this spooky space again with you next week. And remember, life is perfectly paranormal.